This episode is brought to you by Aircraft Accessories of Oklahoma. When it's time for an aircraft component inspection, overhaul, repair, or replacement, you need experienced technicians you can trust and friendly service you can count on. Aircraft Accessories of Oklahoma, a family-owned business since 1959, delivers just that.
Our techs have real-world experience and provide sales, service, and overhaul for piston engine aircraft accessories. We also have limited turbine capabilities such as fuel pumps, starter generators, and prop governors. And we can overhaul propellers ranging from fixed pitch to turbine. Propeller pickup and delivery service is available. And one more thing, mention this podcast to receive 5% off your next sale, service, or overhaul. Visit aircraftaccessoriesofok.com.
AOPA presents Never Again, true pilot stories from the world of general aviation. In today's episode, we all train for emergency landings, but will we be able to pull it off when the need arises? Contemplate one pilot's experience in Finding an Open Space by Mark Vanderpool. The weather seemed to be ideal, and the morning calm, as my wife Kim and I prepared to fly a Cessna 172 to visit our son Cole, his wife Haley, and our newborn grandson Colt in Cadillac, Michigan, on the morning of October 8th. We were looking forward to the flight, and we were especially excited for the opportunity to see Colt. I updated the briefing that I'd prepared the night before and filed my flight plan prior to leaving our home in Sterling Heights, Michigan, about 7:30 a.m. We headed out for the 15-mile drive to Detroit City Airport. The airport is home to the Tuskegee Airmen Museum Flight School and Club, where I am a member. I had just more than 200 hours of flight time in the 172 I was flying that day, and upon arriving at the airport, I confirmed the airplane had recently received its 100-hour inspection. After completing the pre-flight inspection, we were ready to take off on what would turn out to be a memorable adventure. We departed at 8:48 a.m. for what should have been a 90-minute flight to our destination, the Wexford County Airport in Cadillac. We obtained flight following about 5 miles north of Detroit City, and cloud bases in the Detroit area were around 4,200 feet AGL. We maintained an altitude of 3,500 feet MSL until we were able to ascend to 4,500 feet just north of Flint. It was a beautiful fall morning, and Kim enjoyed capturing the vibrant northern Michigan colors in photos along the way. All was going well, and the gauges were in the green the entire flight. As is customary, we noted airports along the route, should we have a need to divert for any reason. Kim, who is not a pilot, has taken great interest assisting me with checklists and noting general information, including heading, altitude, and any course deviations. About 17 miles south of Cadillac, I obtained ATIS and confirmed the winds were 260 at 13 knots, gusting to 17 knots. Visibility was 10 statute miles, and we were at about 4,000 feet MSL, preparing for a descent and landing on runway 25. We were 15 miles southeast of Cadillac when the airplane suddenly started shaking violently and losing power. I was startled by the split-second intensity of the shaking, thinking that perhaps I had a bird strike or a problem with the propeller. I immediately began my emergency checklist and maintained a best glide speed of approximately 65 knots, thinking I still had a chance of making Cadillac. After noting a loss of altitude and a windmill farm that was clearly going to be a problem, I started diverting to the west, knowing there was ample open space. All the gauges remained in the green, but the engine was losing power and we were descending approximately 300 feet per minute. I thought perhaps we had encountered carburetor ice, so I pulled carb heat on and made sure there was nothing unusual like the primer vibrating loose. I continued with the checklist, but there was nothing out of the ordinary, so we proceeded farther toward the open space that seemed suitable for an off-airport landing. Since I had flight following, I advised Minneapolis Center of the engine trouble and that we were likely going to make an emergency landing. Minneapolis then advised me to turn to a heading of 180 and proceed to Everett Municipal Airport, about equal distance from Cadillac. I was hoping and praying that carb heat would resolve the problem, and we could continue on to our destination. Unfortunately, the problem persisted, and the odds of potential disaster were becoming more imminent with each passing minute. At this point, I was convinced there was no way we could make either airport. The emergency landing was the only option. I continued to focus on getting aligned with the field we had selected to land on. I reported to Minneapolis Center that the diversion was not possible and that I was proceeding with the emergency landing. Our descent rate was about 500 feet per minute, with an elevation of 1,300 feet MSL and an altitude of 2,400 feet MSL. I only had about 2 minutes before touchdown. I did the best I could to maintain a glide speed of 65 knots and lined up with the field downwind. Then I turned base and applied 20 degrees of flaps, knowing I was a little fast. Unfortunately, I had to clear a large cluster of trees, and the natural tendency was to pull back on the yoke, pitching up, after which the airplane slowed and the stall warning alarm sounded. I quickly corrected by pitching the nose down, and thankfully by then we were clear of the trees. I then turned final with a heading suitable for winds out of the west and applied the remaining flaps. On final, I was overcome with a sense of calmness and relief, knowing there was no question I could make the landing. The alfalfa field was a good choice because the growth was low and not very dense. It was eerily quiet as we approached touchdown, and I made a soft field landing with the main wheels touching down first and the nose wheel about 30 feet later. I measured that after the fact by the tire marks in the field. We had enough distance for rollout, stopping about 100 feet short of a road. Kim and I were not injured. Surprisingly, it was one of my best soft field landings, and there was no damage to the airplane. The root cause was determined to be a blown exhaust valve, which subsequently tore up the piston and the cylinder. I called my son, who was waiting for us at Cadillac. He asked if we had landed. Relieved that I was alive to talk with him, I jokingly said we had landed, but unfortunately we were in the middle of a field. After realizing I was not joking, he raced to our location. I then called to cancel my flight plan, and it was very strange reporting we had not made our destination, and I was standing in the middle of a field. Shortly after, Minneapolis Center called to confirm everything was okay. Osceola County Sheriff's personnel arrived, but we did not need medical attention. Within an hour or so, I was contacted by representatives with the Grand Rapids Flight Standards District Office. We filed the necessary report over the phone, and I was advised that we could make arrangements to remove the airplane. After a couple of hours, as Kim and I sat in Cole's car, I had a chance to reflect on this surreal experience. It was only then that I realized how fortunate we were to be on the right side of the story. As our worst fear unfolded, my wife and I remained calm throughout the emergency and focused on executing the landing. The alternative was not a viable option. After we landed, my wife started crying and complimented me for a safe landing. It felt good hearing her words, but I fully understood the gravity of the situation. While stunned over what had just happened, I was incredibly relieved we were safe. Mario Accardo and Craig Pearson, the CFIs with whom I completed my flight training, had both emphasized the importance of being able to complete emergency landings, and we practiced them extensively. With that training in mind, Kim and I are always searching for areas to make emergency landings, and while we never thought it would happen, picking out a site was more instinctual when the actual need arose. There is undoubtedly a difference between meeting minimum standards for flight training maneuvers to pass a test and being proficient. Both CFIs focused on the latter. I was also grateful for the Minneapolis Center controller who helped guide me to a safe outcome. I am grateful for the rigorous ground training program offered by the Tuskegee Airmen Museum Flight Program. The program is centered on teaching young aviators the science of rocketry, drone, glider, and fixed wing certifications. Finally, I am grateful for the FAA, who over the years has developed a training and a licensing regimen that has become the gold standard worldwide, making aviation one of the safest modes of transportation. The Never Again podcast is brought to you monthly by AOPA, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. You can find more Never Again stories online at AOPA.org by typing Never Again into the search box. While you're there, check out the AOPA mobile app, as well as the many free training and safety courses from the Air Safety Institute. Find all of this and more at AOPA.org. The Never Again podcast is produced by Royce Earle. Thanks for listening. Fly safely.